Good morning, church. How y'all doing today? So good to be here with you today. Awesome. Not only a great crowd, you're a good-looking crowd. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Wow, here we are, part two, Master Plan of Evangelism. Second to the Bible. It's like my favorite book. Really enjoy this one. I've read it so many times. It's a book that is, we're doing a book that the Master Plan, it's a book that's over 60 years old, but is still very relevant today. It's almost like, you know, like the Bible is over 2,000 years old, but it's still very relevant today. How many of y'all know that? There's still truths there. There's still everything we need there. And it's all about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, when I met Jesus, I asked him to be the forgiver of my life. And I said, Jesus, I'll follow you. And I began this relationship with him. And it was pretty cool. But then about 2 years into it, I actually came to this church. And my relationship with Jesus took a turn because I loved Jesus. And I was kind of growing, kind of learning to love Jesus. But when I came here, I took a step in becoming a follower of Jesus. And the Bible talks about discipleship. And I became a disciple of Jesus and a disciple of those men that were before me. And an accelerated growth happened when I said, I'm no longer just going to have a goal to grow, but I'm going to have a system to grow. See, goals will not grow you. A system of growth will. That's why we do what we do here. And so what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And this is all about, like, how did Jesus do it? And we're learning from him. What did he do? And see, when I met Jesus, I got a purpose to live. Many people, even here today, are struggling with your purpose. What purpose do I have? And I want to tell you that God created you for a purpose. And it's not, I mean, the generic way is like God created you to give glory to God. That's generic, but God created you to have an effect on the world where you live. And so purpose is so important. Here's a quote for you from Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life. Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless. Yeah, how many of y'all can say ouch or amen? Yeah. But when we have a purpose, my life takes on a meaning, not just a meeting. I have a reason to live, and that's what this is really, really all about. And we're going to kick off this week the same way we did last week in Matthew chapter 28, and it's in the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is Jesus's last command. I mean, in the Gospels, in Acts, it was wait for the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But it was his last command is our first concern. His last command. Now, how many of y'all know that the last things you say before you leave the house are really important? If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Right? You leave the house like nobody will light the stove. You will stay in the house. You will lock the doors. How many of y'all know your last commands before you leave are very important? Jesus' last commands are very, very important here. And what I want to read to you something that just kind of came to me. There's a verse before this one in the Message translation. And in right before this, it says they worshiped, but some doubted. Some doubted. Let me read to you out of here. And I was just thinking about this. And the moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Now catch this. Some, though, held back, not sure about risking themselves totally. And I want to speak to you today because there's many people that can hear my voice right now. You know, like, hey, you're in a good spot. You're kind of a follower of Christ. You love Jesus. How many people love Jesus? Yeah, you love Jesus, you know, and it's good, but we're about to go to another step of being a follower of Jesus, but there's this fear of risking it totally. Because of fear, because of things that have happened, because of different things. But Jesus was undeterred. How many of you all know that we can have fear and we can be afraid of risk, but Jesus is like, oh, that's nice. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go and make disciples. We have fear, but he breaks right into the verse there. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Jesus is not ruled by our fear of risking it all. The invitation is still there, and it's still available for you and me to go to another step in our growth, in our spiritual transformation. How many of you have realized you have not arrived? How many of you are really aware that the person sitting next to you has not arrived? I thought I would get more hands there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't arrived. And so he says, Jesus is here. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Yeah. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you. I am with you. How many of y'all, I'm going to give you a Greek translation of always. It's always. Even to the end of the age. Yeah, and so he says, okay, you're going to do all this stuff. You're going to identify with Jesus. That's what baptism is. And if you've never been baptized, we have water baptisms coming up real soon. And so if you've never been baptized, we want you to identify with Jesus. And then we want to help you grow. We want to help you obey, which simply means properly maintain and preserve, spiritually guard, keep intact. So Jesus says that all authority has been given. Jesus doesn't want to give us more duties and obligations because nobody has time for that. He wants to give us authority. So whenever we're feeling that we've slipped into obligation, duty, we just got to just check the box. We need to go back to these verses because they're key. We need to identify with him. We go back to maintaining his commands, and we go back to sharing our faith with others, and we begin to walk in authority. How about this? Jesus promised that he would be with us even to the end of the age. How many of y'all think that's pretty cool, right? But how many of us in being a follower of Jesus has ever felt like Jesus is far away? I have. Many times in my life, I go through times where Jesus feels really far away. These verses are the key to getting him close again. Tell other people about Jesus. Identify with him, because baptism is more than just an event. It's about identifying with him. And then learning to obey, guard his commands, and you are going to find his presence follows there. So whenever we're feeling far from God, we go back to here, and he leads us into himself again here. See, and so then he says, you're going to go into all the world. And people say this to me all the time. They say, Pastor, how come our church doesn't do more outreach? How come we don't do more outreach? I want to do more outreach, says all the extroverts. I want to let you know, we do outreach every single week. As soon as you leave this building, the outreach begins. Wherever you go to work or school or soccer games for your kids or hobbies that you do or wherever you go, there's an outreach happening. Yesterday, when I had a tennis match yesterday, and I'll spare you the suspense, I lost, okay, which is a great opportunity to be joyful through tribulation. Okay, it was an outreach. We don't think that way though, do we? We think of a program rather than a lifestyle. Everywhere I go is an outreach waiting to happen. I was at Giant Eagle yesterday. It was an outreach waiting to happen. I was at the Pitt, West Virginia game yesterday. It was a big outreach that a lot of people needed to reach, let me tell you. I got overwhelmed. But Pitt won, so come on, somebody, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, but what I'm trying to say is everywhere we go is an outreach. Everywhere you go, Jesus is going with you. But we don't think that way because even with discipleship, we think of programs rather than a lifestyle and an everyday thing. And God is about to take us into a season where we're going to see that each and every day of our lives is an opportunity for him to show up, and he wants to be with us always. And he doesn't want to give us more obligation. God is giving us himself. He wants to give us a delegated authority. That's what this book is about. And that's what we're learning. That's what we want to do here. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea. Here it is. Here it is. You got to catch it. Get out your phones. You're going to want to take a picture of this. You're going to want to remember this. Come on. I thought there'd be a little more excitement there. Come on. Yeah, come on. Here we go. Jesus' master plan to reach the world requires people who have consecrated themselves to walk in obedience, counted the cost, and conceded their lives to the Holy Spirit. These three things I want to communicate with you today. And again, Pastor John did a great job of letting you know this is out of the book Master Plan. I urge you and encourage you to get it. It's a simple book about the life of Jesus, the one whom we're studying, the one whom we're modeling after. So I urge you to get it here. So let's jump into this consecration part here. You see, at first we respond to Jesus. And how many of y'all know it's exciting? Like he saved me and it's great. How many of y'all remember the day you met him? Come on, how many of you remember the day? I remember the day I met him. And I never want to forget that day. But then we spend the rest of our lives figuring out what happened in that moment. And all Jesus expected them to do was respond and respond immediately. That was the only requirement. And you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why God put this church on this planet, to introduce you to Jesus, and you can begin a relationship with him, and then you can become a fully devoted follower of him. And it's going to be full of joy and adventure, and it's going to be a time filled with some mundane things. But the exciting things happen out of a lot of mundane, everyday, ordinary things. That's what happens. And it's a joy. And that's what we want to do here. So we're consecrated unto him. And where we learn new habits, we learn new things. So what is this word consecration? What does it really mean? It's the process of making or becoming holy. We're set apart from the world, but we're set apart for God. If you overemphasize either one of those two things, you'll be out of balance. I'm set apart from the world. I am set apart from the world. I'm set apart from the world. Then we become no earthly good. But if we say that, you know, I'm only set apart from God. I'm only set apart from God. And you don't worry, like the other parts, you're no earthly good either. I'm set apart from the world, but I'm a set apart for God. Not for me, but for God. That's where the joy is. That's where the life is. I'm set apart for God. And it's a great, great thing. It's fun. And we've lost the idea of holy in our culture and in our society. No, we really have. We've lost the idea of there's holy things. We've lost the idea of being set apart. We've lost the idea that even worship, when we sing and we worship God together, though that's holy. It's set apart. It's for God. And we steal his glory when we say it's about me and making me feel better. Oh, you'll feel better, but you'll feel better out of giving him glory. And we get lost out of our own minds and out of our stuff, and we become surrendered to him. Yeah, see, that's what holy, it's consecrated. That's where it is. And in John 14, 21, Jesus' words, those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. Yeah, and because they love me, the Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. So many times in our life, we're wondering, why isn't God showing me his way? Why isn't he showing me his will? Why don't I know that? Well, it comes from here. As we love God, we obey him, and then we are loved more from the Father, and then he reveals more things to us so that we get to obey, and then we love Jesus out of obedience, and then we're loved from the Father, then he reveals more to us, and then we love Jesus and we obey him, then we're loved from the Father and he reveals more to us. If we're ever wondering about why God isn't showing us his will and way, we need to go back to the last thing he told us. Did we complete it? Because if we didn't complete that, he can't reveal to us the next step. If we go back and say, what have you revealed to me? Did we attend to that? Then he reveals to us, according to Jesus' words right here, and he manifests himself, and he gives us more of himself. Did you just track that there? This is being a follower, and this is what we help one another do in the Master's plan here. Their capacity to receive revelation, Jesus' disciples would grow provided they continued to practice what the truth that they had. We need less obligation and more expectation and more revelation. It's a revelation of who Jesus is. There's three conditions that Jesus gave for the disciple to be consecrated. The Word of God. Everybody say Word of God. With others, and the will of God. This is how we're consecrated. Like, we need the Word of God, and then we need to be with others. Relationships that reveal with other people. I am very thankful that I don't walk alone. I'm very thankful that I'm not left to my own. I need other people in my life, not just to hang out with. If you notice Jesus, he really never really just hung out with people. He had a purpose and a plan. He had the distinct purpose and a plan. Okay? If Jesus were here now in the flesh, at 4 o'clock, 4:15 when the game starts, he wouldn't just be hanging out. He'd be getting together on purpose. See, it's foreign to our mindset. But there's a purpose and there's a plan here. So we do it with others and we uncover the will of God, which is that I obey him simply. See, this is what our groups are really all about. Our connection groups are all about. It's a group of friends. You're with others and you read the Bible. That's the Word of God. And then you pray and you help one another take your next step with God. That's the will of God. So it's all about us becoming more holy and more set apart from the world, set apart for God, and we get to uncover God's will and have the encouragement to do it. That's consecration. That's being set apart. That is what this really, really is all about here and so vital here. But you know what we've done in church? We confuse maturity with getting older. How many of y'all know you can get older but not more mature? Oh, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody you know. How many of y'all? Really, see, we confuse sitting in church or maybe learning a few words, Greek words, or we confuse just like just sitting, listening with maturity. Nowhere is that maturity. How many of you have raised kids? Okay. How many of you raised them to be independent and move out of your house? Just a thought. To be responsible for themselves, but not only that, to take responsibility for others. See, it's to take responsibility for other people. See, that's maturity. That's what we're talking about here. And that really is the goal of God also. It's not just to make us older, it's to get us like caring for other people. That's the depth of maturity that we have here. And it comes through discipleship. And I want to let you know, I'm still being discipled. My notebook is still open. I still take notes. I still meet with people. And I still ask for the last 10% in my life. I still need help in my life, putting into practice the will and the work and the word of God. As long as you're on this earth, you will need that help. But I also have been put here to help others. And to the degree that we're taking notes, that we're posturing ourselves in such a way, and in our culture right now, in the United States of America, we are infatuated with knowledge, but we are forsaking revelation. And it has crept into the church. We just think as long as I listen, I am good. Rather than no, I need a personal relationship to help me mature, help me take my next step, help me be challenged. Because let me put it to you this way. Unless you are being invited into inconvenience, sacrificing, serving, and being selfless, you're not being discipled. Because by the very nature of discipleship in the Bible, if you're not being invited into a deeper revelation of that, you're not really growing in Christ. Your spiritual formation has turned into a head knowledge that takes place in about an hour and 20 minutes on Sunday morning, maybe a connection group, and that's it. And we wonder, where is the power of God in our day and age? We wonder, where is it? Now, I want to let you know, here at North Braddock, and I'm saying this with all honesty and truth, with everything within me, Pastor John is one of the best biblical teachers I have ever heard. I mean that with all my heart. I mean, it's true. But my concern for you is that you're going to let him do all the work for you. Nobody clapped on that one. No, I'm serious. Like, because he's so good, and Christine, you and Pastor John are doing a fabulous job here. I'm blown away by everything happening here, and I'm just so honored to be a part of it, and wow. But the problem is sometimes we listen, but we're not listening for life change and spiritual transformation. We're listening to feel good. Pastor John says stuff that, to be honest, I'm like, I could never say it that way. It's brilliant. But I too have to take, when I listen to his messages, I'm saying, God, transform me, change me. Don't just change the moment that I'm in, change my life for you. That's consecration. Don't just change my little moment on Sunday morning, change my life, change my week, change the month, change this year, change my world, change the people around me. That's consecration. And that's Pastor John and Christine's heart. It's that there will be a multiplying group of people that are learning how to comprehend and lead and share and grow in the word of God with others in the will of God. That's the purpose here. Yeah. I'll keep going. Count the cost. We got to count the cost. And we've become a professional cost counters rather than price payers. We love to count the costs, but we're not paying the price. I think we're about to pay the price today. Let's look at a couple examples here. Luke 9, 57. They're walking along and someone said to Jesus, and couldn't you just see like Jesus, like Jesus is there. And somebody stands up and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Wouldn't that sound really good? The emotional moment, Jesus is walking. Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And there's many people in the room right now, you'd be going, I wish I would have said that first. This person said it. This is not a parable. This is a recurrence here. He says, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. What's Jesus saying? That our following needs to go beyond emotional feelings. Emotions come and go. We're not here to hype you. There's not enough energy to hype you and keep you hyped. There's not enough sugar. But following will not be easy. But it's inconvenience, but it's a great joy. So counting the cost, don't make it emotional. Then he goes on. He said to another person, come follow me. Verse 59, the man agreed, but he said, oh, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, man, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom. And what Jesus is saying here, I'm oversimplifying, procrastination is unacceptable. Jesus expects single and immediate obedience. As a matter of fact, the longer it takes to obey, the least likely you'll do it. Am I right or wrong? It's like that, no matter if you're paying the registration on your car, the longer you have to do, the higher likely it is you're going to miss it. When it's due on Monday, you pay it on Monday. Am I right or wrong? See, what he's saying is a presence, and many people here were saying, I want to follow, I want to be consecrated, but man, when I get this in order, then I'll do that. When I get this fine, then I'll go do that. When, let me get some more money and inheritance, that's really what it's talking about here, then I'll go do this or that. In procrastination, Jesus is like, sorry. Next person said to Jesus in 61, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is unfit for the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here is undivided attention is needed. And our past cannot control our future. See, many people, you got your past all locked up in your head. Well, I went to a group, I tried it before, I prayed before, and it didn't work. And we're walking with a limp. I guess it was like 12 weeks ago, 13 weeks ago, I tore a calf muscle. I went through all this rehab. I went 9 weeks and did nothing, but finally got exercising, then got on the tennis court again. And even still, it's been a couple weeks I've been playing, and my leg feels fine, but mentally, I'm like always waiting for it to go. I'm waiting for something to happen wrong. And every now and then I'll stop just to make sure I'm okay. Many of us are doing this spiritually right now. You have gotten hurt in your past. You tore a muscle, and mentally, you're waiting for that to happen again. Mentally, you have in your mind, if I trust again, or if I go try to be discipled again, or if I grow again, or if I open myself up in my life to somebody again, raw, it's going to hurt again. And it's like, it's better that I do nothing than risk getting hurt again. And God is saying today, before you leave here, you're going to get prayer, and you're going to get prayer so God will help you get over that past hurt. You can put your hand to the plow, stop looking over, and let's go somewhere with this. See, that's what God is doing right now. That's what this is all about here. Let me read to you just an excerpt here from the book. One must ask, why are so many professed Christians today stunted in their growth and ineffectual in their witness? Or to put the question in its larger context, Why is the contemporary church so frustrated in its witness to the world? Is it not because among clergy and laity, that's a fancy way between the pastors and people going there alike, there is a general indifference to the commands of God, or at least a kind of contented complacency and mediocrity? Where is the obedience to the cross? Indeed, it would appear that the teachings of Christ regarding self-denial and dedication have been replaced by a sort of respectable do as you please philosophy of expectancy, of expediency. Where is it just like, I'm willing to risk it again. I'm willing to step out again. I'm willing to believe God again. I'm willing to just say, God, I'm opening myself up for something greater again. Where is that in our lives? Because we're wrapped up in ourselves. And I understand that. That's why we have Victory and Freedom weekends. You got to get there, but you got to sign up. No, I'm serious. Like, there has to be a process by which we grow, or else we're never going to grow because we have a goal. This is our goal. Going to grow more. Going to grow more. Go eat at the buffet 5 times a week. You'll grow more. It won't make you more productive, but you'll grow. I'm actually good at that. Come on. But we can't predetermine what we can do and can't do, and we can't just tell God what we're willing to do. Okay. Last point, concede to the Holy Spirit. Now, I wrestled with this word concede because it's so close to the word conceded. But concede, and this is the simplest way, I want to make sure you get it. In every election, there's a point where one person concedes the election to the other person, where they submit to the results. I concede the other person won. Okay, that's what they do. They concede. I submit to what's happening here. So when we say concede to the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is I am going to submit to the Holy Spirit and his role and his will in my life. I'm conceding he won. Not he's going to win, he has won, he is winning, and he's going to win. Not only in the grand scope of the world, but he has won my heart, he's winning it today, and he's going to win it again tomorrow and the next day. How will I know that? When I become submitted to God's will in my life, and I am completely submitted to loving my wife and laying my life down for her. I'm conceding to God's will. When I say, no, I'm not going to obey my flesh and do what my flesh wants. I'm going to do what God wants in my everyday with my kids and my finances, with my witness and with the people around me. When I do that, Holy Spirit, win. God has created you for a victorious life. God has created us for victory, but it's found in a way of submission to him and conceding to the Holy Spirit, his will, his way, his worth. It's all about him. And there's victory there. It's victory. So I'm going to concede to him. John 20:22, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. They needed the Holy Spirit to do what he did. Because why? In John 14:12, he promised that greater works will you do. Greater works will we do. We've given that up. We have. Well, I mean, define greater works. We have. We've settled for complacency and mediocrity because that's just where we live. And we've given up the fact that God has created you for victory. God has created us for victory. God has created our lives for victory, but it's a victory found through the cross, not a victory found any other way. And I'm here to tell you today that through consecration and through impartation, we can become followers of Jesus Christ. But I need an impartation from him. Jesus gave his disciples the Holy Spirit, his peace, joy, keys to the kingdom, and his glory. Do you believe all that? Jesus gave his disciples his peace in the midst of tribulation, his joy when things aren't going quite right. That's what settles it. That's why at the end of a tennis match when I've lost and it's okay, I can stop and say, but let me tell you about this guy, Jesus. Oh, I didn't really want to know about that. I know, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. And I'm not saying I preach. Let me just tell you what he means to me. I've been having fun with this lately. Let me just tell you what it means to me. Let me tell you what he's done for me. That's outreach. That's where you live. And we're going to pray over you in just a few moments and impart to you the Spirit of God that's going to help you not only walk in obedience where you live, but help you tell other people about Jesus. How many of y'all need all the help you can get? And am I in the right place today? Yeah, so we're going to pray for you here, and then you're going to get with your group this week, and you're going to share with them, this is my next step, this is my struggles, this is my pain, but you're going to help somebody else grow, and they're going to help you grow, and we're all going to become more like Jesus, not with a goal, but with a systematic plan and process. So here it is, red-lettered words of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. Comforter. Counselor. A confirmation of the words of Jesus. Courage and boldness. Someone close beside, an advocate. Conviction of sin and judgment. How many of y'all want that prayer today? You know, it's been a while since I've been convicted. Bring it. Says nobody ever. How about captives set free? Now, I want you to look at that. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is an impartation that God's going to do for you today. How many of you see at least one thing up there you could use help with? Just one. How many of y'all? Seriously, I'm asking a real question. Just one? If not, I'll expand the list. No, I'm serious. But we come to church and we're playing this game of like, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm not sinning the way I used to. I got it down to once a week. No, I'm serious. Most of my thoughts are good. If you need any one of those things, we're going to pray for you today. And I believe that God is going to meet you right where you are. Because I believe that this is what Jesus was talking about. All authority has been given on heaven and earth. And this is what he wants to give us, a delegated empowerment to live for him and to obey. And if you're struggling with obedience, you came to the right place. Could you stand to your feet with me right now? If you're part of the prayer teams, if you could move forward at this time, I'd appreciate it. Church isn't done yet. You're not released into your outreach yet. Pastor John's going to come up and just, it's going to take a little bit. Pastor John's going to come up and he's going to close us at some point. And he's going to commission you into your world. But let me ask you a question. Y'all get ready. You do what you do. I want to speak to everybody here today. if you don't have a date, a moment, or time when Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven, has become your only way to live. That means you said, Jesus, your sin, put him on the cross. Not the world's sin, not other people's sin, your sin, put him on the cross. And if you've never come to a place where you reconciled your sin, put him there, and you need forgiveness, then you came to the right place. You're going to say, God, forgive me of my sin, and now I want you to be Lord in charge of my life. And if you don't have a day, a moment, or time that you've ever done that, I want today to be your day that you can begin a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. So, Father, I speak to everybody right here, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord. Everybody here that doesn't have a moment, they haven't begun this relationship yet. Lord God, let them find you. Let them know you. Let them experience you, Father. God, let it be so. Let it be so. And if that's you today, I want you to do something joyful and bold. I want you to say, Pastor, that's me today. If you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, or you want to come back home, you want to submit to him today, raise your hand right where you are. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is your chance here for the thank you. Thank you very much. Somebody's going to come up beside you. They're going to pray for you. If you raise it, they're going to pray for you just to seal that deal. Thank you very much. Come on, let's just thank the Lord. Come on, praise God. Thank you. Okay, now, the worship team is going to lead us in worship. And you are going to come down the center aisles right here. You're going to come down, and they're going to direct you to one of these teams, and they're going to pray the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Those convictions, courage, all those C's up there, if you need any one of those, I want you immediately. Come on, please don't waste time. Move out into your seats. Come on, men. I'm challenging men. Come on, we need this just as much. Come on down the center. And they're going to worship. Church ain't over. We're going to worship the Lord. These people are going to get prayer. And I think everybody should get prayer. Who doesn't need this help? Everybody needs this help. Come on, somebody. So if you lead us, we're going to be the best followers on the planet. We're going to worship the Lord. Are you ready to worship Jesus right now? Church ain't over. Come on, let's fill up. Fill in. Come on. Come on down and get prayer. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come on, let's move. Let's worship the Lord. Let's receive this impartation from the Lord.